Recorded live.
What is going on, people? Welcome to another week. We have changed the name, right? To the Married Men Don't Talk Talk Show for the Married Man. That's a mouthful. We were just talking about the website. If you all have not been to the website, please take 10 minutes and go. Rodney has done his thing with this movie. And it tells everything about what we do in a crazy way.
And oh, I saw that. I'm sorry. I did see that. That
did
was off the
that?
Hook, man.
Yeah.
Those little characters?
Hmm?
Those little character guys?
Yeah.
Oh, crazy,
yeah.
Man.
Is that crazy or what?
I was laughing. I was dying, man. Oh, yeah, I watched that. That was off the hook, Rodney.
That
yeah.
was off the hook, man.
I was like,
yeah.
I was like, man, this is funny.
Mm-hmm. That's what's up.
Sometimes
that
I
was,
go
that's
and just
great. It was like yeah. 6 minutes long, man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was great.
Yeah, it's good stuff, man. Good stuff. And then we have the.
I didn't mean to say it like that, you know, but it was great.
And we have the app coming out too, what we were just talking about for Apple and Android. Well, you'll get a notification for Apple, right, Rodney? Notification
yes.
that'll give you, like, you know, calls coming on in an hour or something like that. Will the topic pop up, too?
It will not.
The topic won't pop up. Okay.
No, yeah. just automatic dial.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, you know, moving right along. We're trying to get to the tech segment of, you know, what we're doing here. We're trying to get tech savvy, and Rodney is definitely taking it to the next level.
So I got a question about those apps.
Yeah.
Were we able to talk or just listen?
No, it's just a reminder feature. It's everything will be the same. It's just another feature for it where you wouldn't need the reminder, a text message or whatever.
And it can actually link you right into the call. Right?
Yeah, it can link you right in too. Yeah, you can still, you know, instead of dialing, it'll have the numbers already pre-programmed for you.
But will we be able to listen to it on the, you know, on the device, or?
Yeah, just put your phone on. It's the same thing like you're talking on now.
Yeah, that's strong.
Yeah.
You want to tell them about the other feature, or you want to hold that?
Yeah, we'll hold that until the end. Go ahead.
You want to hold that to the end?
Yes.
All right. Tonight's topic is from best friends to enemies. No profanity, and it's not Bible study. And that's it. We talked about this last week in open mic. I think it was open mic, where we talked about the ins and outs of marriage, the disappointments, the ups and downs, and the good week, bad week. I want to ask a question, and I want to start off with the best friend part. Does anyone on the phone currently have a best friend? You know, like the kind of friend you had when you was a kid, you grew up. You ate at his house, he ate at your house, you guys spent the night at each other's house. If one family went on vacation, maybe you went with them and vice versa. You know, that friend that you told everything to, all your secrets, y'all hung out after school, the whole nine yards. Does anybody have that type of a best friend?
Yeah, but we don't sleep at each other's house anymore.
Well, I mean, you know, you...
we don't sleep at each other's house anymore, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I got a buddy I speak to 2-3 times every day.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got one too. My man, Devon, he's on here sometimes, and we've been friends since kindergarten.
Best friend,
yes, sir.
Best friend.
Yeah, I got a couple that have been friends since elementary school myself that I still talk to.
Best friends?
Yeah.
I mean, best friend, I mean, what would you consider a best? Because I'm thinking it's one. Can it be more than one?
I don't have many.
You don't have many of them.
No.
That's what I was thinking.
I think it'd be less than three, you know.
Less than
three,
so maybe two.
I only have three.
Yeah, the max is probably
one.
Three.
Got one.
I got one.
Okay, best friend. Talk about everything. Now, can your wife, now think about this, can your wife truly be your best friend?
I don't think she can.
I think it's a different thing.
Yeah, it's a different thing. Yeah, because
okay.
Number one, she's not a male. I mean,
right. I mean, you can't stand there and some chick walk by and you say, "Damn!" You'll say, "Damn, look at that!" You can't do that with your wife. Now you're thinking it, but you can't do that with your wife.
You can't.
I mean,
I'm just saying. It's just a question. I mean, you know.
I mean, you could, I guess, but that wouldn't be real good.
Can she ever take that? Like, Rodney, can your wife ever take Devon's spot?
No.
Not
I mean, it's a different. I mean, it's a different. It's just totally different, as Andrew was saying. I mean, it's just. I mean, it's no. I mean, it's a, they're in different spaces, you know, and. Now, granted, they probably know a lot about me, but you know, they just play different roles, I guess.
Yeah, they're different best friends,
right?
Because my wife is my best friend.
Okay,
and there's things that I can share with her that I'm not going to share with my best buddy in different ways.
Sure, and vice versa.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Ronnie, you would consider your wife your best friend, too? Or no?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it's, I don't know. I don't, like, thinking of this topic, like, I don't categorize her as that.
Okay.
But at the same time, she knows more about me than my best friend.
Okay.
Or any friend, you know, she knows the most about me, but I just wouldn't categorize her as that. I don't know. I just don't see her in that way, even though she's a great friend. I mean, she may be my best friend, but I don't really think of her as my best friend. I don't know.
Okay. But, I mean, wouldn't that be easier? And this is just me talking off the top of my head, but wouldn't that be easier if they were considered our best friend and that we told everything too, even you know, talk about the coworker that's digging you at work,
dude,
whatever the case may be. I mean, just the straight up openness. And I know
no.
It sounds crazy. I know it sounds crazy.
No, it doesn't.
It is crazy.
No, I don't think it sounds crazy.
It is crazy. You done bought yourself a whole world of hurt.
No, I don't think it's crazy because I think that
the
you
open is different.
You have to, like you said. I mean, you have to be open and honest and. I think that you have to be, as we always say, timeful and tactful with when you say those things. But I get where you're going is that, sure, it should be, and vice versa. She should be able to tell you that, you know, old boy at work has been working out or whatever, and, you know, it doesn't really bother you if everything is taken care of at home.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Okay.
Listen, it ain't going to never work. You're a jealous man, she's a jealous woman, and there's some things you're going to take out of contact where your friend won't because he knows you. He knows about you. So, I mean, just like you said, if your wife comes home
and
there's a man out there, you know, coming sweating because he lifting up, you know, chairs and boxes. And you find out about it, next thing you're going to know, you're going to go take you a quick lunch and go up there and see who this guy is.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but anyway, you're going to hear about that anyway if it's a problem.
That's true.
You're going to circumvent that problem. You're gonna, you know, it's like, hey, in God we trust, everybody else I check out.
Okay, so it wouldn't work because of things that might come up. In other words, that we may not be ready to handle.
Right, because you got to remember, man, you're still the protector. So how are you going to – now you have to balance out friendship and protection and when it comes to your wife. Where your friend, he's a grown man. Hey, handle your business. This is what I think you should do.
You know, they just have different roles. I think they can still be best friends. But your best guy friend is going to be different than your wife or your, you know, or a girl. You're just, first of all, You can do and say things around guys that you can't and won't say things around women. When women are in the picture, it's different.
Okay.
Okay. If we went and hung out, I mean, we would, and there was no women, we would talk a certain way. As soon as there's one woman in the area around us, everything changes.
Okay, is there something wrong with that picture? I mean, is somebody not being who they truly are, or is it just, it's not like coworkers having a conversation and the boss walk up and you flip the script. I don't think.
No, I just think that we have different ways to relate to different people. I mean, you know, you may be out kicking with your boys and you relate in one way, and then you're out with your clients, you relate in another way.
Sure.
You know, you just know that there's different protocols that need to be upheld.
Okay.
Yep.
We all in agreement on that? Cause
yeah.
I'm really not there. I'm not there. I'm just, you know, I'm not trying to be no perfect dude, but I'm not there because when, and again, I don't have any best friends. I got a lot of good friends, but I don't have any best childhood friends that I talk to every day. I mean, I talk to Rodney a lot, you know what I'm saying? But me and Rodney, we're not childhood best friends, but I talk to Rodney a lot. I got a lot
I'm
of
a childhood best,
best
friend with Rodney.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
What's up, brother?
What's up, Rodney?
Welcome. You see what I'm saying? You see, I got all the respect in the world for Rodney, but again, we met through a certain entity, and that's my man, 50 grand, just like Matrice and Andrew and everybody else. But if I have to deem someone a best friend, I think it had to be her. It's crazy.
So you're saying that because of the fact that you don't have any best guy friends, that your wife is your best friend by default?
Oh, my goodness.
No. I didn't say by default, by choice.
By choice.
See, I do have a lot of friends that I've grown up with, yes. But I've made her the person to go to when it comes to, okay, if I want to hang out, let's me and you hang out. If I want to talk about something that's on my mind, well, let me talk to you about it. If I started that in the beginning, and now that's kind of the way that it is with us. You know, I don't put anybody, I've never put any male friend above that relationship. So
oh well, see, I don't have anybody above the relationship I have with my wife.
Yeah.
And I would rather hang out with my wife than anybody.
Yeah, me too.
But still, I have that. You know, I still have my best buddy. It's still different. And like I said, you know, we're gonna talk in a way that if his wife or my wife was in our presence, things would be different. It's an unspoken thing. We understand that.
Yeah, and I think that actually that could prove problematic that you don't have a best guy friend.
You gotta have a guy friend.
Yeah, like a road dog.
Yeah, you gotta have somebody you can get away from the relationship with your wife. That's just what I think.
But you are 100% correct. And I have put myself in that box. I'm not mad. I'm glad that I'm in that box because it's pretty much less confusion. But when issues come up,
mm-hmm.
you know we have issues come up. When you want to get away,
we used to have a word for that was called henpeck.
Well, Dave, I come in on
that
the ass end of this conversation, didn't I?
No, we just started, brother.
Oh, you're in.
Yeah, you're good.
I'm going to tell you one thing. If I had to rely on my wife to be my best friend at all times, I don't know where I'd be. I got to have that outlet, you know. I got to have somebody else that I can confide upon, somebody else that I could talk to.
I'd agree.
You know what I mean? Because, I mean, you know, when stuff gets – if you get it going that bad at home – that you can't, you and your wife get arguing or something, you got to have an outlet, somebody you can go talk to. And there's nobody better to do that with than a really good friend of yours.
A good guy friend.
If you don't have that, I mean, where do you go?
No, I'm not saying I don't have good guy friends. I mean, there's a couple on the phone right now. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about a best friend.
Oh, I got you.
You see what I'm saying? I got plenty outlets to talk to. I got to tell you, I don't call him many a day.
I don't think it was
say so. And Patrice as well. So, but what I'm talking about is that ultimate best friend thing. And I understand
yeah.
because sometimes you need an outlet. You need a place to go and say, hey, I'm out of here.
Yep.
Not only do I think we need an outlet, I think we just need a guy's perspective because men think differently than women. And if he's a best friend, he's going to have the right to check you. So we get out of line.
Yeah.
And we think we got it all. And we need a best guy friend that can come to us and check us and say, man, you're stepping wrong.
Well, or you might need somebody to tell you that you're stepping right.
Or stepping right.
Yeah, that's true.
One or the other. But, you know, he's got to have a tight enough relationship with you to be able to step to you and say, brother, you know, hey, I see where you're heading, man. It ain't right.
Yeah. Or it might need to be saying, you know, hey, she's working you.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. You know,
and you need to be going in the other direction.
Yeah,
and I think somebody close enough, you know, that can step. That's a nice move. That can step up and has that relationship close enough to you to do that.
Yeah.
Oh,
sometimes
yeah.
you just need somebody to vent to. You know, like the brother said, you know, you just need
yeah,
somebody to co-sign.
Even if there are no solutions to any of the problems,
yeah.
just to have somebody get it all off your chest.
Exactly. Because
yep.
if you say that same thing to your wife, it's just going to dig you deeper in a hole.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. But there's also, you know, there's a flip side, too, because everything y'all said is great in a perfect situation. But what about the friends that says, come on, man, let's roll, let's hit the club tonight. Don't
that's
worry
not
about
a friend. I mean, that's not a friend.
It could be your best friend. That's probably how he won't. You're not going to tell him it's your best
friend. Let me just say this. My best friend, you know, he was quite the ladies' man, and I can remember, you know, he was the best man at my wedding. And I can remember one time after I was married, a young lady tried to contact me, and I told him about it. And, you know, I'd already taken care of it, but before I could even tell him that, he told me, he said, man, you tell that raggedy broad to kick rocks with no shoes on. You know, because that's a best friend. You know, I got dudes, yeah, they want to go to the strip club, but, you know, my best friend is like, nah, it's more important you stay married and honor your vows.
Yeah, because he can be a best friend and still respect, you know, your marriage.
Absolutely, and still
Absolutely.
Be a ladies man.
And still be a ladies man, that's right. That's right. That's right.
Never, he might not get married.
He might not ever get married.
Yeah. But I think you got to have somebody like that, not necessarily, maybe not your best, closest friend ever, but somebody like that just to remind you that, you know, that remind you of who you were before you got involved with that woman.
Mm-hmm. That's good words.
Yeah. Now, somebody mentioned something just now with when you have some issues and you may go to your wife with them issues and you'll get a different response than you'll get from your male friend. Am I just say that? Well,
yeah.
Anyway, it may not be a supportive response. It may be something negative because something you're going through involving her. And when you go to her, like he may tell you, okay, well, it's you. She may tell you it's you or may say something totally different. I don't know. But from what I'm hearing is that you will probably get a different response from your male friend than your wife if you're going through something with your wife.
100% of the time you'll get a different response because your boy is not your wife and there's no emotion involved, you know. And also, your boy is, another man. And men are wired different than how they approach situations. And as you said, I mean, if you go to her with a situation, she may come at it from a different angle, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the angle that she's coming at it with is wrong. You know, it's just a different perspective. And maybe you don't take all of what she says, but it is some truth in what she's saying about, you know, in her response or reaction to, you know, the issue at hand. But, you know, your boy, on the other hand, is probably going to be close on the line of, you know, what you're thinking and how to approach the issue.
But I think a really good friend, though, in that situation would also say to you exactly what you just said. You got to see it from her perspective. You know, mm-hmm. take a second to just maybe hear where she's coming from before you jump to a conclusion. And I think that sometimes is, you know, it's kind of hard to swallow because it is a really good friend, your best friend saying that to you. But when they share that with you, you know, it really does give you an opportunity to kind of just sit there and maybe bounce it off and hear the particulars of where she may be coming from.
And with that, just to piggyback on that, we have to realize that she has your best interest at heart. So, you know, just the same way as your best friend. And they may come with two different, totally different responses, but at the same token, they're both coming at this, at the situation as objective as they know how and trying to, you know, think about resolving the issue in your best interest.
Honestly, I think that your wife, my wife in particular, or maybe, I don't know, y'all's wives, probably have a little better interest in it than your best friend actually would.
Mmm, that's deep.
Well, I mean, damn. It's, you know, when you look at the in the long term, you know, your best friends, they want you to be who you are, who you've always been, you know, for as long as you can be that person.
Sure.
Whereas, you know, you marry your wife and you say those wedding vows, she wants you to be that person for eternity, not just, you know, as long as you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
She expects you to be that person for a long time, like, you know, until one of y'all dies.
And she expects you to grow a little bit.
Exactly.
And not
exactly.
be the person you
You can't
to be
that same person your whole life.
That's right.
When you get married.
That's right.
And that's what you agree to when you do get married.
Mm-hmm. That's good words.
Good words. That's good words. Good words. But something
and,
happened. Go ahead. No, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And you agree to that.
You just don't know it.
You don't know it
until about a couple years later.
Like, what did I agree to again?
Yeah, you're like, hold on, read that back to me again.
That's good.
But something happens in between those times. And those of you who just come in, the topic tonight is from best friends to enemies. Something happens.
So that's why I called.
My man.
That's good. I love it.
Yeah. Look, last week we talked about an individual that had, I don't know how you call it, self-improvement marriage literature. I'll just call it that.
Yeah, that's good.
You know what I'm saying? Self-improvement marriage literature that he took home. You know, and said, here, honey, here's your copy, here's my copy. And let's go over these exercises so it'll make us better. And I think he was shot down. I think it was like she wasn't, you know, surprised. She wasn't excited like, hey, my husband wants to be better. It was more like, okay, this ain't going to change nothing. Is that right, Rodney?
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah. So, but how do we get to that point where we want to be this man, we want to be the best that we can, and we step out on a limb? Because, you know, that's a vulnerable move for us as men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to do something like that is vulnerable because we don't really know how it's going to go. Because we don't ever want to be deemed as someone that, you know, needs outside help.
You don't want to expose your weakness.
That's
exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So now we take that step. And then it gets slapped, bam, right back in your face. I mean, so how does it get to a point where you get that kind of reaction from your wife? Because the next woman will see that and be like, oh, you're the best man in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You're the best man in the world. You actually try to be a better husband with your wife? Wow. You got any brothers? You got any friends? You see what I'm saying? But you know, it's but how does it get to that point where she's not excited that you're trying to be better?
I think to answer your question, Mr. Host, because this happened to me, and what I think happens in my case, for the longest time, I couldn't talk to my wife. I could talk to her, but at the same token, I couldn't really express my feelings because it was, you know, I didn't want to go, you know, the 3 to 5 to 7 days of the no talking, you know, after I expressed myself. And so what I did, I just kept it bottled up for years and years and years. And then what happened, we had a second child, and at the same time we had a second child, she took a new position, a new job, started a new job, and it was like a perfect storm. But how we got there, to your question, is that it was just slowly building up, you know, over time. You know, it's almost like a hurricane out in the Atlantic. You know, it forms as a small tropical storm, then it gets bigger and bigger, and it just, you know, as it just churns, it just gets bigger and bigger, and then it's massive destruction. You know, once it hits, you know, the coast and the land and everything. But it was a process that for me, I could not freely express myself. And going back to, you know, I could tell my best friend, you know, what I was going through if I dialed him up, and he could understand, and it wouldn't be no animosity or no, you know, feeling like that I was attacking, you know, him or anything. It was just an objective point of view. But that's what happened to me. And like you said, like I shared with y'all several times, that I did get, you know, a book of some literature, and it was not well received initially. And I had to keep, you know, plugging away. And at the same time, you know, like you said, I'm out on this limb. I mean, and this limb is, I mean, this is a thin branch. I mean, this joint could break at any time. And I was hoping that it didn't, because I don't know if we could have recovered if that didn't work. You know, because it was, we were that far out there, that I think that it could have been, it could have been problematic if the literature that I brought in that was not initially well received. Thankfully, it was over time, and it helped heal our marriage. And but I mean, it's like one of the things. It was like it's like do or die. You know, I had to keep. I was just so adamant about saving my marriage, and initially she didn't like it, but she came around, you know, and everything's good now. But, I mean, it was, you know, I was out there like, man, if this don't work, I don't know if I could bring a counselor, or, you know, I don't know what I could do after if that failed.
That's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's good stuff. Yeah.
I'm not so sure that a counselor can help, but so much. I mean, you got to have the want for yourself to help, you know.
Yeah.
and she's got to have the same thing. It's got to be 50-50.
Yeah.
And, you know, the counselor gets 0%, but the counselor just gets credit for the help.
Yeah, you say that, brother, and that's a great point. And, you know, I also wanted to get like a – and we did have some mediation from another great couple that we know, good, objective folks. But at the same time, you know, she was kind of like, Rodney, I mean, we need to get to a point where we can work some of this stuff out ourselves.
Yeah, exactly.
And we can't be running to – and they're,
you know,
great people.
The counselor's not going to move in with you.
Right, right. You know, I mean, it comes to a point where, yeah, they can get you over some rough spots, but at the bottom line is eventually you need to get it to where, yeah, you know, thank y'all for smoothing this over. I think we can take it from here.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what happened. But, I mean, they did help us, you know, in the interim. But, you know, I mean, she told me, she was like, we some of this stuff we just got to, you know, just man up and woman up and just handle it.
You know, and that's good, but great words. But what I'm hearing, right,
mm-hmm.
is that, and correct me if I'm wrong, and actually it's a good thing, but had you not taken that step with that literature,
mm-hmm.
would have anything have been done?
Probably not.
Probably not.
Because I think that, and I think that she's actually – she'll admit to this, that she had felt that this is how marriage is. You just get in a, you know, a funk or a rough patch, and you just, you know, just weather it. You know, we did talk briefly about separation and dividing up the kids, and very, very briefly, thankfully. But, I mean, we did go there, and but I think it's just she was to the point where you just muddle through. And I wasn't gonna tolerate that, because I didn't think that that's how marriage should be. I didn't think that marriage should be just muddle through and just go through every day in misery or whatever. That she's not happy, I'm not happy. I was like, well, this is not how it's supposed to be. And so I took the step, you know, to get that literature and brought it in. And thankfully, that's what worked for my marriage. It may work for yours. It may not. But I think that we have to, like you say, just you got to turn over all stones before you throw in your cards.
Yeah, but Rodney, you brought up one good point. I mean, out this that whole conversation, statement that you just made was that you took the initial step.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I know in mine, I took the initial step. Now, mine was I got sick of tired of being tired, and so I set up the counselor, and then counseling began the communication, which got our marriage back better. But and that's one of the reasons why we're on this call is that sometimes we'll say, we okay, I'm all right, it's you that needs to change.
Mm.
You know, I'm fine, I'm good. You know, we want to put the blame on the wife, but you know she's emotionally strained. So everything is wrong in her eyes. And it could be just something very small.
Well, let me ask you this, brother. Do you think that your marriage would be where it is today if the shoe was on the other foot? If she was the one that sought out the counseling, and she was the one that said, come on, we need to go to this. Do you think that your marriage would be in the place, in the good place that it is today if the roles were reversed, if she took the initiative?
I don't think so.
Why is that?
I'm being honest. Just because I'm a May baby, so I'm a torch. I'm stubborn as everything. So I'm just being honest. You know, my stubbornness will probably, maybe sometimes my male ego will probably have put up a defense mechanism that will, you know, cause him more harm than good.
But do you think
if she was taking the lead?
Do you think that despite you being a May baby and a Taurus, just the fact that she was the wife and you were the husband, do you think that would have played a role in getting y'all's marriage back on track if you were the one kind of taking the back seat and she was driving it? You know, just the fact that she was the wife.
Hold up, Roddy.
Yeah.
Let me just add a little bit on to that.
Go ahead, bro.
As far as being a Taurus baby and being a Sun baby. Listen, no, hear me out now. I mean,
right.
deep down, man, you know, you're a Taurus, you're stubborn, but deep down, you know, because that's how you are, and you usually don't, you know, even have to tolerate people like that because you're so stubborn. That's what one of the attractions that you have to her. Is that she's stubborn. It's like a challenge for you to accept her ideas and what she wants to do and everything that she's got going on, man. You got to look at it that way.
Yeah, you might. You
know
right.
What I mean?
Well,
you know, that's like it's like a small challenge for you, you know, because that's the type of person that deep down that you're looking for is somebody that gives you a challenge. So in a way, that's kind of bettering you in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because anybody
challenges get us in trouble. It's one of those things like you got to be careful what you ask for.
Yeah.
And it goes back to what Tony talked about earlier. And when you have a best friend, you got to be careful about what you tell your best friend because you're gonna be careful what the answers you're gonna get.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know? And that's why you probably have to be careful about having your wife because, you know, even though you're friends one minute, it's like the same thing with your kids. You know, you can't be your kid's friend.
Nope.
Because, you know, then they start looking at you differently and they think they can get away with stuff or they look at stuff, what you say, as a joke or something.
But I think that
they
going
don't know
back...
when you're serious and when you're not serious.
Going back to what he said about the Taurus piece, I would go out on a limb, go out on another limb, and say that if that was somebody else, you would have washed your hands with him. You'd say, you know what, forget you. You know, but when it came to the wife, it's like, you know, like he said, it's like a small challenge. You're like, I got to figure this thing out.
Look, you know, there's been many times I said, yeah, I swear if you was a man, it'd be on right now. I swear.
Yeah, yeah.
You're the only person I could take this abuse from. I don't know if I could take this from another man. I said that many times.
That's good.
But it's true. It's true. It's,
yeah.
It's that challenge. And somehow, out of 13-plus years we've been married, we both have been winning,
yeah.
If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes sense.
You know, we both have been growing, so the arguments have been less.
Mm-hmm.
But for somebody who's probably just starting to go through it, who hasn't been married as much, well, y'all got some things to go through.
How long you been married, man?
13.5 years.
Oh, Lord.
I've been with my wife for 18 years.
Wow.
How about that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've been married 2.5 years, so I don't know, you could take my advice with a grain of salt.
good advice.
No, that's good, that's good advice, man.
Man, that was good advice, man. Sometimes we need to hear that again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, man. Dang, I've been married 2.5 years. I've been separated for 2 months. So
what?
Oh, yeah. Well, but the counseling, like I said, I'm not going to take the counselor home with me, but the counselor is helping.
That's good. That's good. And who set up the counseling, bro?
I did.
That's good.
I set it all up, paid for it. It's all, you know, I paid for it all myself. I did the upper hand on that one.
Yeah, that's good.
Now, that's four. I'm counting. And
No,
listen. I'm going to tell you what I'm counting. I'm counting Rodney. I'm counting Patrice. I'm counting my man that just talked. I'm counting myself because I set up counseling.
This is Seth.
Yeah, Seth.
Yeah, man.
I set up counseling, too, in my marriage, too.
I got you.
So we needed to do it. And the other guy last week, that's four, right? Is that four? Or is that, no, that's five.
That's five. Yeah, he makes five.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what. I've been separated about maybe 2 months now, and I'm pretty much aiming to move back in like the week before Thanksgiving, so it worked for me.
Yeah.
Well, but I want to go back to the host question, and I think that it's key because from best friends to enemies, like what happened, you know, in your relationship in 2.5 years when I was talking about my rough spot, that was at year 8.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
So I mean,
wow.
what happened?
Thanks,
in
Ryan.
Those.
Thanks.
Yeah, what happened in those, you know, those 2 years where that's supposed to be, quote-unquote, the honeymoon
well,
stage?
I'll tell you what. I've known my wife for, we've known each other for almost 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
We dated for 2 years, you know, 11 years ago. And, you know, we split up back then and went our own separate ways. She went to college. I moved out to the mountains, you know, and worked out there in Harrisonburg for 6-7 years, and she had a baby, and we both ended up moving back here to the Eastern Shore, you know, the last year, and got back together, and we were together about a year, and we were married within a year of getting back together, so it was kind of like we had love at first sight.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of like I think we both felt like we owed each other something, you know. And then here we had a baby and got back together, and I pretty much just told her yes to everything.
Mm-hmm.
Where it got to the point where she started just trying to walk all over me.
Mm-hmm.
You know
what
I mean?
Show on that, yeah.
That's like from friends to enemies?
Yeah.
That's why I called, Rod Dog.
But you said something key there, brother, and I thank you for calling and sharing. But when did you have this baby?
The baby is she was born in June, so yeah, she's like a year and a half.
Wow.
So
she was born 2 Junes ago, so yeah, she's like a year and a half old.
So could that be in, you know, don't take this the wrong way. Because
no, I absolutely won't.
Yeah. Do you think that having the baby kind of Because, I mean, that's what happened to me. Having number two just sent us off the trolley tracks. Do you think that having the baby was a year into y'all's marriage? Or, you know,
Well, how soon did she get pregnant? We dated for a year and then got married. And she got pregnant, I guess, 3 months after we got married.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, she was already pregnant. I'm pretty sure she got pregnant on the honeymoon.
Yeah.
Yep.
And see why I say that.
I would almost guarantee that.
And see why I say that. I think that's key because I don't think, for both of y'all, there's an expectation. Yeah, you dated, you know, 11 years ago, and you dated, you know, you rekindled and everything. But y'all never really had the chance to really have a marriage where you can go get ice cream if you want. You can go catch a movie.
Just the two of us.
Yeah, exactly.
She had, like I said, you know, in the time that we were apart, she had a child of her own, you know. Mm. My stepdaughter, she's 7 now, you know. But it would have been a lot easier to juggle a 7-year-old around than it would be to juggle a 7-year-old and a 1-year-old around.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, man, it's a lot of animosity and I've told her this before. It's not a marriage anymore. I said it's like a goddamn competition.
Mm.
You know, about who's doing more for the marriage. Like, you know, you're doing this and you don't do this and it just seems like to me that it should be more like a teamwork. It's a compromise. And friends to enemies, man. That's me and my wife.
Yeah. Mm, that's real talk, brother.
Fucking hey, man. Yeah. Well, I mean, hey, can we cuss on here?
No, keep it clean. Yeah, keep it clean. You're doing good.
I just said truck.
But I had to say, Rodney, if he can cuss, then you know.
No.
Now, where are we at now?
Yeah.
Well, listen, I got a question. I got a really good question. After listening, is it smart to start over? Is it smart to say, you know, our first marriage is done, even though you don't get divorced or anything?
Let's start over
from the beginning.
Yeah, I think so.
Let's begin a new marriage from this point. Let's you know, put this old marriage in this box and seal it up in the closet.
Yeah.
A way to keep. Let's go back through and start over. And let's start over how we want to be right now, not where we thought we were supposed to be at right now. Mm-hmm. It's just a question.
Well, let me say this to you, Patrice, and I'm glad you just took it there. The reason why I was counting 5, and because in 5 different households, 5 different marriages, the men were the aggressive one in seeking help.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? In 5 different households and 5 different marriages, I'm thinking that if the men didn't seek help, it might have been in the same position it was prior to them seeking help.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, and again, I did that, and I got offended because I was like, I'm going out, and I'm trying to get some help. I'm trying to find counselors. I'm making appointments, and she wasn't. Okay? But now listening to you all, it really wasn't a situation where I should have been offended because I'm thinking that they're expecting us to fix it.
I think so.
Think about it. In all these different situations.
Ernest told me that. My wife told me that.
Yeah, I'm expecting you, the man of the house, to fix it. You know what I mean? Don't look at me to fix it.
Right.
Fix it. Do what you got to do. Fix it. And sometimes they're not ready to receive it, but they're still sitting there waiting for you to say, okay, I got plans for us. We're going to fix it.
Can I say something?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'd like to say that just make sure if it does go bad that it ain't your fault.
Yeah.
Do whatever you got to do
to make sure that it's not your fault.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean like this, just turn it, just try everything.
Yeah, if you want to save... Even if you're married, if you're not married, you know, if you want it to work, make sure that if it does go bad, that you did everything that you could possibly do to save it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But
I mean, what else can you do?
But you're right. But But at the end of the day, is that our role?
Yes.
It is.
It is.
Regardless, if it's your fault or not.
Mm-hmm.
If it's all her fault, should we still go seek counseling?
Mm.
All her.
You're getting dicey now. Getting dicey now.
Let's get dicey. Let's pull out the ginsu.
Hey,
it all depends
on how bad you want it.
Yeah, but I think still so. I mean, I have to say it. When the first day we went to council, I think the council wanted to retire.
don't ever expect her to do any more than she needs to do. You should, if you want it to work that bad, you need to go above and beyond and, you know, do everything you can for it.
Yeah.
It all depends on how bad you want it.
How bad?
Yeah.
But and how bad you want it is going back to what P-Town said earlier. I think just articulating the fact that, you know what, honey, we made some mistakes. Let's start over. I mean, just literally just saying that, it just sounds good to me. I mean, and I'm sure it would sound good to her, because I think if you go back into it trying to make up for it, I mean, the past is in the past. You can't go back and fix this or that. But I think if you start fresh or try to come with that mindset, I think that'll be better received than trying to go back and repair some old stuff. Because, I mean, he's right, is that you have to move forward and you have to acknowledge that, you know, yes, we both made some mistakes, but let's try this thing again. You know, we got this 7-year-old, we got the baby, you know, let's just get our marriage on the right track.
But let me tell you, it's not going to be as easy as it sounds.
Yeah, because those are just words, man.
Because now you
have a plan of attack.
I mean, you got to literally say, listen, I wrote up a contract. I said, these are the things that I'm not going to do that I did that you pissed you off in our first marriage. I mean, and then you got to stick to your word. And if it's written down, it makes her say, okay, I'm going to keep you to it. I mean, it's that part of putting yourself on the line, on that barbed wire with the little, you know, you walk across the little barbed wire with the little stick. As a bouncer, I forgot what it's called, but walking a little tightrope.
Tightrope.
Barbed wire tightrope. Now, that's something.
Ooh,
there.
Dude,
that's something.
I'm serious. I mean, because you can't.
I always just called it walking on eggshells.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things, if you're going to start over, you have to know that anything that's in the past was the past, and you can't bring it up not one time.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be mutual.
You have, and you can't do the exact same thing you did in the past. You have to do it different. Even if it's something you used to doing, you can't do it different. If you went out and played golf because that's what you like to do, or if you went out with fishing because that's what you like to do, you can't do that in this new marriage. You know?
Yeah, but again,
you used to do. You can't do, because she's going to expect you. I thought you were going to change. You're really doing the same thing.
I know.
Your words may be a little different. That's not going to work.
Okay. Let me throw one at you then. How about talking to somebody else about your marital issues?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like a best friend. I'm just saying, some things you used to do, you can't do now.
But
you
I think she wants all that conversation.
That happened to me. I mean, I had to back away from not telling my friends anything. I had to do it. I had to stop running. I used to run this house when we get, you know, upset. I'd just leave, go to his house, calm down, and vent to him.
Now
I'm putting him in the middle of my situation.
Now we're getting somewhere. Keep talking.
You see what I'm saying? He can't fix it. Where he going to go to?
Yeah, but that's what
he can go and talk to my wife, and she's going to be like, where's my man, you know? He can't fix his own issues. He's bringing you into the relationship to man up and talk about these issues.
Mm-hmm.
You got a conflict between the wife and your friend.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been through that situation, man, and it's not good. It's not good. I mean, that's why my last resort was counseling, because I couldn't go anywhere else as a man. I had to do something. to get, you know, my point across. And it was through somebody who I don't even know. They don't. I couldn't tell you who he is to this day.
But I think that, like you said earlier, with the contract, and like the host was saying, that if there is an agreement that you won't go back and talk to those friends or talk to outside people, and she thinks that may have had some influence on y'all's troubles, you got to stick to it. I mean, you got to stick to it, unfortunately, because that's the agreement. If you make that agreement with her not to do it, you can't still do it. And expect, you know, they say that's the definition of insanity, you know, doing the same thing over and over and expect different results.
Same result.
Yeah, so, I mean, you have to. I mean, if she's saying, hey, I don't want you talking to Chuck anymore, you know, you've been talking to him all through our marriage, and you're like, yeah, I won't talk to him anymore. And then, you know, it comes to light that you've been still talking to Chuck. She's going to look at you like, you're not for real, bro.
Yeah.
You know, we had an agreement.
And we listen. And see, that's the whole thing about what I was saying earlier. We listen to our friends. And it may sound good. It may sound great, but it may not be what your wife's saying. You see what I'm saying? It may sound like the perfect thing, the perfect solution. But you get back to your wife and you try it, she says, that's not what I'm saying to you. That's not what I'm talking about. Because your best friend ain't your wife.
Yeah.
This person that you confide in is not your wife. They don't know what she's thinking. They don't really know what her motives are. You see what I'm saying? So, you're getting good information. Oh, go back home and work it out. You know what I mean? Oh, try to be more patient. Try to do this. And all these different things, you get back home and your wife is probably somewhere totally different. That's why, for me, it's been easy to just say, okay, you know what? I'm going to try to eliminate that. But it's hard to eliminate the outside help.
It is hard.
I do understand that. It's hard because sometimes you need it, but you don't want to be addicted to it.
And I made the mistake of talking to you brothers. And then getting that good information, like you said, and then going back to the wife and talking to her. And, you know, she would say that, hey, I'm not the brothers on the phone. You know, you need to talk to me. I'm your wife. You know, I understand where you're coming from, what Tony says. I hear you, but, you know, you have to talk to me in a different way. And I had to figure that out because I thought, you know, I could literally hang up the phone with y'all and go upstairs and be like, you know what, I got this on my mind, and just lay it on her, just like I'm talking to y'all. And that did not work. It did not work. And she was like, I appreciate you got all this, you know, stuff you want to tell me about, and just all this communication is great, but you're going to have to figure out a different way for us to work this thing out. And I had to learn that.
Good words. Good words. It's 10:11.
10:11.
It's 11 minutes after 10.
Yeah, 11 minutes after 10.
And I've got a monkey wrench. I normally don't have them. I definitely have a monkey wrench.
I got one in my truck here.
You got one in your truck? My bad. Tonight's monkey wrench is, did you fall in love with your wife's representative?
Whoa.
I did.
Uh-oh, there's one.
I did.
All right, who's the wife representative?
You got to explain to him, Tony.
The representative is the person that you meet. You probably marry the representative.
Oh.
He's got it already. He's got it already. Now, Tony, if that was a woman, you'd be still explaining until 11 minutes after 11.
No. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, did we? I mean, I did. That person was off the chain.
Oh, my God, yes.
Oh, yes, off the chain. Everything, I mean, picture perfect. You know what I mean? I mean, everything I could imagine in a woman, that was it, the representative. I was loving it.
Why else would you marry her?
Exactly. Hey, Tom, let me tell you what happened to me. You know, and the reason why I said it, because, I mean, my story is unique. I've told it before, but I told my wife and I married up. We met in college. The first time I went to class, some reason I had a dream that had her in it, and I told her about it.
Sure.
And she hated my guts for a whole year and a half. But then we got married and we got together and we got to know each other and everything was hunky-dory. But the day I put that, you know, asked her to be my wife, they put that ring, it was based off what our relationship was at that time. But then she looked at me differently. It was like, all right, I'm yours. Now I expect more out of you. Where I, with her, I was expecting the same thing we was always doing. And so we were already, you know, going in two different directions. Because I'm like, you cool just the way you are. Just keep doing what you're doing. Right? And she's looking at me like, you need to get this degree. You need to get this. I mean, where you going to be in the next 5 years? I mean, type of thing. And you can just see it. She wanted more out of me than I probably wanted out of myself at that time. And I wasn't there yet.
Wow.
I'm like, you keep doing what you're doing, and I'm going to keep at it. And if you, because, you know, when we were doing what we were doing, she was like, yeah, go out, hang out with your friends. Go have fun.
Yeah.
You know. You ain't going to call me every 5 minutes. You know. We was going through that stage. So, you know, I'm like, all right, cool. This is beautiful. You know, I'm out all night, come in when I want to. Everything was lovely. But I didn't realize that was going to change once school was over, because I said, all right, I'm going to buy this house. And I said, you know, we're going to throw this party, and then when you come down, you know, you're going to come down next week, whatever, whatever. I couldn't even sign the papers, and she was in the driveway waiting on me. It was like, no party. This is my house now. We run things the way she wants to run.
Wow.
It was like, oh, here it is.
Wow.
Then, you know, you still trying to do that same thing. We done moved in with each other. We weren't married yet. We were still engaged, but we moved in with each other, and I'm still trying to go out and hang with the boys and stay out all night. I'm still at that same level where she's like, no, it's time for us to grow. It's time for us to plan. And
now you got that ring. It's like, get to work, bro.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's what I mean by the representative, is that she was thinking already ahead where I was thinking short term, because it was fun. Life was fun. The relationship was fun. You know, it had a different demeanor to me than it did to her.
And I think, as the old adage says, you know, men marry women hoping that they don't change, and women marry men hoping that they do change. And when you put, I think that in a sense, and probably I almost venture to say that all women go through this, but once they get the ring, once they walk down the aisle, a sort of complacency sets in. You know, like, I got him now. You know, I got the paperwork on him. You know, he ain't going nowhere. And I think subconsciously it goes through their mind, because that's why the behaviors change. You know, because if it didn't go through their mind, they would always be that representative, as the host was saying. I mean, but I think once they get the ring, or once there's some finality and some closure to your relationship, I mean, they're thinking, hey, you ain't going nowhere, bro. So I ain't got to do that stuff I was doing before. And I think that's why they get relaxed and they get complacent and comfortable, and like, because you ain't going nowhere.
Every single woman expects you to stay home all the time unless they give you permission to go out. No, I mean,
use the word,
you know,
permission.
But
yeah,
as soon as they get that ring, that's what I mean. I don't mean every woman all the time. I mean,
yeah,
as soon as they get that ring, just like Roddy was saying, as soon as they get that ring, they have that final closure.
Yep.
That they have you in their grasp.
And they close the door on you.
Yep.
Well,
but that's something that you agreed to.
But you didn't. But that's what I'm getting to. I'm
but
glad you said
you
that.
You needed a contract.
But what I'm saying is, you actually didn't agree to that.
Yeah, you're
right.
You're right.
And wouldn't that be detrimental to a marriage when the representative goes away? And now you're like, but who are you?
Yeah.
I mean, because it happens. It's like, okay, just think about the time when the representative was present, all those things that were happening that are not happening now. Am I right?
No, yeah.
A lot of things were happening. It's not happening now.
Yeah,
you know, and you, go ahead.
It's the whole closure factor. It's like a Venus flytrap stays way open, you know, until that little fly lands in there, and then they close them right up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It looks beautiful when it's open, but when it's closed, it looks like a mean old.
Yeah. I mean, that could lead to resentment. At some case, you know, because you're sitting there saying, "Yeah, but this is what I was promised."
Yep.
When I mean promise, it was a person doesn't have to tell you. They just show you how it's going to be.
Yep. Hey,
you know what I mean? That's like going to a new job and they roll out the red carpet and you got a company car, you got whatever you want, everything. It's like going to work for Google. It's the bomb. You know what I mean? As soon as you sign the contract, now you're in the mailroom.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, it's one of the worst things I think about being a, you know, I mean, of course, I've never been a woman before, but one of the worst things that a human has to go through is the rejection and the, you know, that shock you go through when you get as happy, you get on your highest point, get as happy as you've ever been in your life, you know, with your job and your woman. And then go right slam down. That woman could take you right down into the depths, man. Just like, you know, just like a big octopus coming and swallowing you into the sea or something.
Wow. It's got a lot of power.
Yeah, it goes to, you know, it's a thin line between love and hate.
It is. It's friends to enemies.
Mm-hmm.
Thin
friends
line
to enemies.
Best friends to enemies. Thin line.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, I mean, because you can feel lied to.
Yep.
Betrayed.
Betrayed.
You don't even have to be lied to, just if you think you're being lied to.
For sure.
Yeah.
Because now the rules have changed and you didn't agree to it.
Yeah, but it's okay for them to think that it's okay.
Yeah.
Now, you're not allowed to say a word about it.
Now, again, in all fairness, I'm pretty sure that, you know, we were Superman in the beginning, too. You know, we did the thing, we did the call on time, and just like, you know, Patrice said, you know, he did certain things and, you know, to make, you know, we all did it. And then, and like Rodney says, well, you know, we got lax too, you know. But for us, we don't need a lot. And
nope.
Here's the thing here. We don't need a lot to be happy. We don't need bells, whistles, rings, cars, none of that. A smile, a tap on the butt, hey. You know, what time? Just a small token of appreciation will make our day.
You're right.
Rodney told a story last week about how an email made his month. Email.
I still got that email. I still got it.
Email. That don't take no time.
Yep.
All the power in the world that they have.
Two sentences.
And can make a man blush. You ever see a man blush? You don't blush.
Oh man, that's good.
We are so low maintenance.
Yep.
You know what I mean? If we drink beer, just let us have our beer. You know, have a refrigerator full of some beer. You know, our remote control, our slippers, whatever we need, and you put us in that one position, we're fine. Leave us alone. We're good.
Yep.
Don't need much.
Mm-hmm.
We'll never need to go to the mall. We'll never need to go get our hair done. None of that.
It don't matter what the toilet seat's doing.
It don't matter. You see what I'm saying? The smallest thing can make our day. And sometimes it's hard to get it.
Yeah.
You ain't never going to get it.
That's like
in Vogue. Impossible, man.
That's like the In Vogue song.
We're fighting to lose the battle, man.
Never ever going to get it.
Well, the only thing we can do is make it better on ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because I think going back to what we were saying earlier, I think that if we do take those steps, you know, to come back from being enemies to back to being best friends, they can only reciprocate. I mean, it's only so long that they can, you know, be like the brother said, be that mean old Venus flytrap. They got to open up. I mean, that, you know, kill them with kindness, as they say. You know, that stuff breaks them down.
Yeah, you know? You can fly around and look at it, and isn't it pretty, but don't get too close, or it'll close up right up on you.
Yep.
Hey, Rodney.
Yeah.
How about we make some, you know, those ribbons they got for, like, you know, autism awareness, breast cancer awareness?
Yeah.
Can we get some to say wife awareness?
I love it.
Yeah.
We just got to figure out what color we want to use.
That's good.
I think red will be good.
I was thinking red, too.
Yeah, dude. Hey. Yep.
You have to design. You design, man. You have to design.
Dude, I got a cutter that'll cut them right out.
That's good.
We'll put up a website quick. Wife Awareness Month. What month is open?
Right about that.
I think it was the biggest wedding month is what, like June or July?
Yeah.
White guy, Awareness Month.
For the guys that's going down the aisle, you know, out there, like, fellas, do you know what you're about to get into?
Well, see, the thing is, we can sell them to the guys that are getting married, and the wife will rip one off every day. So I have to buy a new one every day.
You can make a profit.
Yeah.
Hey, Tom, I got a question for you.
Sure. Go ahead.
What makes our wife so much an enemy in our own home? I mean, is it something that we said? Because, you know, that can, you know, your wife can be your friend and turn enemy as from one word,
yeah,
from an adjective, you know. Something.
That's a very strong statement. That's a very strong question you just asked, because you use the word enemy. I mean, if you sit down and define the word enemy, that's a very strong question you just asked, to put your wife in that category.
Yeah.
I mean, just think about it. Sometimes we, you know, an enemy, you know, in war, what do we want to do to an enemy?
Right.
All right, Rodney, what's the definition? I know you already got it up.
I do not, but I do want to say that I think that it goes back to what I was saying about the thin line between love and hate. And also, I think that they can become or be categorized as our enemy because they often concentrate on the things we don't do rather than the things we do, you know. So you can come home on time, you can make sure the mortgage is right, all the bills, the kids, the homework, or whatever. But if you didn't unload the dishwasher, you know, take the trash out to the curb, or if you didn't take the recycling out, she gonna let you know about it. But she not gonna let you know, man, I just thank you for you just always on time. I can always expect you to be home at a certain time. I ain't gotta worry about you, you know, going to happy hour or, you know, wondering where you are, or what time you coming in. I just appreciate the fact that you come in at around the same time. I just appreciate that. And then just go on about it. And like Tony said, that'll take you a week or two. Just that little kind word versus, you know, you forgot today is trash day. You ain't put the stuff on the curb. But I'm home on time every day, you know. But I helped the kids with the homework. Or I swung through the grocery store and got that milk we needed. So
Rodney,
you wouldn't have
you
to
got
do
a
it.
Camera on my house.
I'm at the front door, brother. You know,
dude,
I'm at
you
the front
got cameras
door.
In my house, dude. That's me.
But Rodney, that representative had game. The representative had game. Think about it. The representative said those things.
Ooh.
Made you feel like $1 million. Representative pumped you up daily.
Wow.
Come on, big boy.
Well,
what you waiting on, big boy? Come see me, big boy. And now you don't even get that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Good job. And now you're like, man, can I get a good job, please?
Right.
Do we mess up by counterpunching? And what I mean by counterpunching, they say that, so this is one we have to win. So we say something that we know is going to shut the conversation down.
Yeah.
We're going to say something way out of the blue.
And we've been saving it for months. We've been saving it up for months.
Yeah, and we get so frustrated that you just let it go. You don't want it to come out, but it comes out the way it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, the counterpunch can definitely be a problem.
And now you dug yourself in a deeper hole. Because your words have really hurt her.
Yeah.
Who's paying the bills?
Hmm?
Who's paying the bills? If you're paying the bills, then you just leave.
Yeah, but it ain't easy that day. Cause, you
got a baby in there.
I was just telling somebody the other day, I said, listen, what you never don't want is that man with that black coat sitting behind that bench in your business.
I got you. All right.
Yeah.
Because we've seen grown men go to their knees, and when another grown man or woman sitting behind the bench with a black coat on is making a decision that you couldn't make for yourself.
Wow, that's strong.
So, but we end up doing ourselves because we say something that's gonna really. Because we sick of hearing the same thing over and over and over. It's repetitive. Why, you know,
God,
you don't ever
right.
talk, you know. But, so you don't have nothing else to say but this one thing. And so you just blot it out. Say, take this. Bam, knockout punch.
Yep,
good words.
And now she's ready to walk. Because not realizing all the stuff that she said to you has gotten to you. But she's mad at you because you said one thing.
And, you never ever thought she'd be like that.
Yeah.
And then she's like, you're not a man because you should be able to take what I'm dishing out.
Yeah.
Wow.
After she was all lovey-dovey to you to get you in that position.
But were there flashes of the representative that showed you that? Or was that just completely hidden? Like it just came out of just totally out of the blue, or can you look back at some times, some incidences where I knew she had it in her, you know, or did she keep it completely wrapped up, you know, until after y'all said I do?
Well, you should have known that the first time she said don't. Why you ain't take out the trash? Why you ain't take out the trash? Oh, you can't take out the trash. It's 11 o'clock. I get it in the morning.
I got a profound question. I really do.
And profound?
I mean bad. It's just a horrible question I'm getting ready to ask. It's horrible. Just horrid.
Oh, Lord.
And Rodney, you just kind of... What if right now this is your wife's representative? In the beginning, it was her real person, and now it's her representative. Something
that
just brought this representative out.
Wait a minute, you just flipped things on it, man.
Yeah, you did.
Profound question.
That now, I wouldn't have never got married. that's an easy question.
I mean, think about it. Think about it. The person that we're dealing with now, that is not the same person that it was in the beginning, which probably never is. I mean, probably one out of a million is the same person all the way through. But sometimes people change, and we know that because we're all experiencing it. But let's just say that the person that you're dealing with now, where it's not right all the time, is actually the representative.
I tell you what, my wife, I believe, is like a, well, I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I diagnosed her as being like bipolar because she's still that same person sometimes, you know?
Mm.
But I see a lot more of the bad side.
Now.
You know, nowadays. So I still see the representative sometimes.
Okay.
Occasionally.
Yeah, but,
and hey, those days are great days. But I see a lot more of the you know, I guess you could say the wife or I don't know, we need to think of something to call that person because I can't call her my wife and I can't call her the representative. You know, because I didn't marry this other person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, man. I mean, damn it. If I deal with the representative now, but I also have to deal with the other side.
Yeah.
But I think going back to that profound question, and it was this good person that we were dating, and now it's this representative, but you want to go back to that good person. And I think that maybe I'm wrong, Mr. Hope, but I guess I'm thinking that you're trying to, how do we get back to the good person? Because this is really not her, you know, the way she's acting now.
Yeah. Not the one you want.
Exactly. We know what she's capable of because that's why we married her. We saw the potential and everything, and that's why we married her. So how do we get them out of, you know, the acting like the representative and back to that good person? I mean, how do we do that?
$64 million question.
Somebody knows the answer. How do
Somebody
we do
does.
That?
Somebody
Damn,
does.
He's a millionaire.
And I hope he's on his phone. I hope he's on his phone and he tells us.
Oh, man. Somebody got to tell us.
But, I mean, but honestly, I mean, if you look at it that way,
mm-hmm.
and if that is the truth, then there's then we've got some mirrors to look in ourselves as to.
I think you're getting close, brother. You're getting closer to the profound answer because I think that we stop doing. Well, we stopped doing what we used to do as far as the courting, as you old heads like to call it. But, I mean, we stopped doing those lovey-dovey things, writing a note, leaving it on her car, or whatever it is you used to do.
Nobody does that anymore. They text them.
Yeah. Or maybe you don't even text them. You know, maybe you just, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, she know I love her.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we just take her for granted. It's like, I ain't got to give her flowers. She know I love her.
You're really breaking it down in the simplest form. And
that was pretty simple, but it made sense.
I mean, yeah, it makes sense. Because I'm pretty sure all of us can write 10 things that we no longer do that we did in the beginning.
Mm.
At least 10. That we no longer do that we did in the beginning.
You remember what you used to do, like, when you were about 16, 17, when you were first trying to get that good-looking girl? Nobody ever does that shit no more.
Nobody does it anymore. Nobody does it. You know, and our wives don't get it, because guess what? They got the house, they got the ring, they got the kids, they got all that already. What more you want to give them?
That's it, too. It comes down to that, doesn't it?
It's strictly business now, right?
Yep. You got that right.
And I think that we think about it in those terms. Like, I come home on time. You ain't got to worry about me running the streets. The heat is on in the winter. The AC is on in the summer. You know, all the everything's taken care of. And I think we think about it in those terms that she should be satisfied. I shouldn't have to buy no flowers. I shouldn't have to write you no note. I shouldn't have to call you or text you to say, hey, by the way, I love you. You know, I think that we think about it in those terms where she should be doing backflips. Because everything that we prioritize, the bills, long-term goals.
Everything she's ever wanted.
Yeah, exactly. We're like, all right, you got that. And we're doing our best. Working our humps to try to maintain it, and that's all we can do. And then I still got to buy you flowers. I still got to give you candy and tell you I love. I mean, it's like I think that we think about it in the terms like that.
That's why I bought you all that stuff in the first place. So we can get to this point where I can just buy you all the real stuff that matters, and I don't have to buy that stuff no more.
Yeah.
But they don't look at it as a
replacement. Valentine's Day, birthday, Easter, whatever you want, but it ain't, not like it used to be.
Right,
just like you don't give me what I used to get before we got married.
Yeah. So basically, the courtship st- stage was operating with a sense of purpose.
Yeah, I mean, that's why it's courtship and not marriage, right?
He's right about that.
Wow. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's looking pretty deep into it, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Now, also, we talked about how the smallest things make our day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the smallest things would make their day, and now the smallest things that would make your day, you know, just like Roddy was talking about, just one little compliment, you know, every now and then, something like that. And, man, I tell you what, I don't get none of that. You know, bust your ass and do everything you can, and, you know, one little compliment would make your day, but you still can't even get that.
But you can get it from outside the home.
Oh, yeah, yeah, get it at work.
Yep.
Yeah, of course I do. I mean, oh, like yeah. I said, anyway.
And it's funny how it's so easy to get it outside of the home. You know,
from
work or maybe in the grocery store. Somebody
but your wife isn't there to witness it.
Yeah,
yeah.
But guess what? It don't count.
Right.
Don't mean nothing. Don't
You're
mean
right.
That.
Not at home. It don't mean nothing at home.
I'm saying it means something at home because we want it from them. It don't mean nothing when your coworker
relates
to the supermarket.
You just kind of got to get it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, we'll take it. We'll feel good, but it's not from the right person.
Yeah.
Hold on. Like, let's be honest now. Some of their thank you is not communicated with words.
Yeah.
Yeah. True.
You know, if hey, I picked up your dry cleaning while I was out at the store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Thinking about you, so I was, you know, picked up. That might be her thank you.
Yeah.
You know, my wife. I tell everybody. I say, man, listen, my wife picks out my clothes every day, all day.
Well, hey,
but
I guarantee
I
will never ever let my wife pick my clothes out. Hey, they never
listen,
in my entire life.
Because the clothes ain't out. I be sitting around like, oh man, I'm in trouble now because I ain't got no clothes.
So she stopped picking your clothes out and ironing when she's mad.
Yeah, D, we know you're having
I tell you what I do is no matter where I'm at, if I'm on my way home, I always call and ask if she needs anything from the store.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like, there is never, I swear, in the past, we've been married 2.5 years, and even though we're separated, I still call her on my way home from work and ask her if she needs anything from the store every single day.
That's what's up.
You know what I mean, but it's just, you know, I do little stuff like that, and it still don't matter to her, you know?
Let me ask a question.
Friends, they enemies.
Yeah. Mm.
How important is making up, and who is the one to initiate making up after a disagreement? How important is making up? Is it even important?
It's always important, man.
Yeah, it's very important. And I think it can't be the same person, you know, all the time, because we have our issues, we make our mistakes, and so do they. And I think that we can't just always expect it to be us or always expect it to be her. Like, it's got to be when it's merited. You know, she make a mistake, she got to, you know, make it right. And if we make a mistake, we got to make it right.
Isn't that an old song?
What's that?
Made up to wake up. That's
make,
all.
Make up.
Yeah, make up the breakup. Yeah,
yeah. That's the song.
Make up.
Nah, but hey, the quality of the makeup is always dependent on how many times you've screwed up.
Oh man.
I don't think anybody will argue with that.
Not at all. But now look, in a marriage, okay, it's not like in a relationship where you're dating and you don't live in the same house. In a marriage, an argument can run its course. And what I mean by run its course is you could be mad Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday you've got pre-existing plans from 2 months ago where you guys got to go out to dinner.
Exactly.
You guys got to go to a dinner party or something like, or to an engagement.
Yep.
So then you got to speak.
Yep.
You have to speak. So at that point, you're either tired of not speaking or you have to speak. You're forced to mingle. You're forced to get in there you know, and talk and make up.
Or you can go to the event mad and come home mad and just, you know, smile and, hey, everything's fine. Then get home like, get away from me. You know, you could just go through the motions and still be mad.
You're right.
We've done it. You know, it happens. It happens to me.
Yeah, I did a lot of Thanksgiving.
It's tired of being tired, too, because, you know, a silent house, when you come home in your own house and you can't, and you don't feel comfortable in your own house, that drives anybody crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you did it last Thanksgiving, bro?
Oh, yeah, last Thanksgiving. Me and my wife got into it the night before, you know, that Wednesday. And then by that Thursday morning, I had to leave. And she said, well, I'll just meet you up there. We'd drive here from Parsley all the way up to D.C.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like 4 hours, bro.
Oh, yeah. I drove up. I left at like midnight and drove up and stayed at my aunt's house. And then she come up the next day and we spent the whole day at my aunt's house. We're talking like 50 people, you know, like a giant family Thanksgiving. And I bet I said two words to her the whole day.
Wow.
Yeah,
she wouldn't even talk to me. And I was like, you know, do you realize, you know, we had both kids up there. And I, you know, I said, do you realize you just ruined the entire Thanksgiving, you know, for our family? I mean, not the entire one, but, you know, for me and her and,
yeah,
and the girls.
Why do you think she went, though? I mean, why do you think she...
Well, because, you know, my little girl, she's only one, and my family's huge, and she's got a real small family.
Okay,
so
yeah.
She was obligated to bring the little girl up there. Either that or I would have brought her up there.
Right.
You know.
Sure. Yeah.
So, y'all, I mean, so y'all, you say you're going to get back this Thanksgiving. But, I mean, are y'all actually living in different spots right now?
Yeah, man. Well, I mean, my parents live over here on the, you know, on the seaside.
And
we live there in town.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're only like, I don't know, 5-6 miles away.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm scheduled to move in before this Thanksgiving, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, that's good, man.
If it goes like it did last year, I think we're going to be more enemies than friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, let me ask a question. What do you think she wants?
You talking to me?
Yeah, Seth.
What does she want? I think she's a control freak, man.
Gotcha.
Tell you the truth, you know, I think she wants it her way. And I don't think she's always been like that. Like you said, I met the representative. You know, but I don't think she's always been like that. But I think she's a dental hygienist. Now she wants to, you know, after we got married, she wants to go to dental school now. So she wants to, I bought a house in Parsley. You know, bought a house, it's in my name, I own it. And but she wants to just pick up and move to Richmond so she can go to dental school. You know, and she's been taking all these big vacations and stuff, and I pay all the bills, pay the mortgage, pay every single bill, pay her car insurance, pay her cell phone, you know, and all that. I think she's just in it for the control.
Well, let me ask you this, brother, and this might be another profound question as we
get. Okay, well, I love them.
Close to the end. Is there any way that you might be the enemy?
Any way I might be the enemy? Ooh, God, the enemy.
look at what you just said. I mean, you're the one in the way.
Yeah,
quote-unquote,
I think I might be the enemy because, I may be part of the problem. I wouldn't necessarily be the enemy because, man, I can't be as spontaneous as I used to be. See,
right.
I used to... Some of the best work I've ever done has been, you know, in the middle of the night.
Right.
And it's hard for me to, you know, the kind of work that I do, it's hard for me to do it, you know, on set amounts of time. And I like to do it under the influence of alcohol. but at the same time, you know, I don't come home and beat the kids, you know, and I make more than enough money to pay all the bills and everything,
right.
You know, and so So yeah, it's tough going. It's tough going.
Yeah, but I say that because I mean she may look at you as the enemy. You know, I mean,
you're absolutely right. I guarantee you she does. That's why you get a marriage counselor, is because both parties think that they're right.
Yep.
And you gotta have somebody. You gotta have a middle ground.
Yep.
Wow.
Hey man, we are definitely with you, and we're rooting.
Oh yeah.
We're rooting for you.
Well, hey man, like I said, I've been to a counselor and she's been there, and we've both been there together, and I'll be back in there before Thanksgiving. So
yeah,
I don't know if it would work for anybody, but if you really love your wife, then you should probably try to get a marriage counselor before you call it off. You know,
for sure. You have to exhaust every available option.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. I exhausted about $1,000. But I tell you what, if it'll get me and my wife and my family back together, then it'll be worth it, you know.
It's worth it.
Yeah.
Wow. But you got to remember one thing. I mean, about counseling, the counselor is there to listen as a mediator and help you out. Listen. I think our problem half of our marriages is that we have it stuck in our mind that we're right and they're wrong, and we'll never compromise on certain things.
Yeah.
You have to be humble.
Yeah.
And that's what I found out is once I really found out what the problem was, we found out it was something minor.
Yeah.
Could have been fixed in, 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I think that, and from what I'm hearing, and this is what I'm hearing, and I may be wrong, Seth, you tell me if I'm wrong, but I think she needs to know your role. She needs to know that you are the man of the house.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And you're not a dominant, ruler person, like I'm going to rule, but you're the man of the house, and you have to be respected.
Well,
exactly. Respect me as the man of the house. I know you want it. She wants to be the boss. She wants to have it her way. But she can have it her way under the terms that she knows that you are the man of the house.
Well, and I'll tell you what. I would give her a little more rule, if she would, pay a few $100 worth of bills or something every month. But she don't pay nothing. So,
Okay.
I mean, that's just all I'm saying. I'm paying everything. So I think that deserve a little bit more
a lot. But that may be what you just said something key. Maybe the fact that she's not contributing financially.
Yeah, well, but she makes more money than I do.
Oh.
But not that I'm not doing bad, but she does make more money than me.
Yeah.
But she does have student loans and shit to pay for, but.
Yeah.
I don't know. She makes way more than I do.
Yeah. So, but you all have an arrangement, obviously, that you just pay the bills.
I pay the bills. She pays the daycare, and she buys groceries and stuff.
Okay.
She pays her student loans, and, I don't have a problem with it, but, when she spends all her money, and I've paid all the bills, and she wants money. I'm like, well, you make way more than I do. You don't pay half the bills I do. Where'd all the money go?
Yeah.
I don't know where it goes.
Yeah. That's financial stuff right there.
Yeah.
And that's another killer.
We'll talk about that another week.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Man,
we're going to talk about that on Rodney, please.
Yeah, we will. You've just gone past so many topics, that we've done in the past.
We can have another week.
Yeah, absolutely, brother. Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah, but that's good though. I mean, but I'm glad. Look, I'm glad we're here for you. I'm glad you have an outlet where we can all talk about it.
Hey man, I enjoy it.
Yeah, because that's what you told me in the beginning. You said you need to find you a friend where you can have an outlet and talk about it, and that's exactly what we are.
I'll tell you what, man, you're exactly right.
Yeah.
Because,
I mean, you can't have this conversation with mom and dad,
So how many people are on here tonight?
Yeah, we might have had 8, 9. Now it's
Is that right?
Yeah, it's
just
us now.
Four of us.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, people get on and off, though, huh?
Yeah.
I've been on here a while.
Yeah. You've been since the beginning.
This is your night,
brother. Hey, Rodney, I'll do it whenever I get a chance.
Yeah, that's good, man. You know, and one thing I tell you, Seth, we here every Tuesday. Rain or shine, I mean, we here every Tuesday. So
rain
I mean,
or shine? With
yeah,
your outside? Damn.
That's funny.
But,
well,
I mean,
you
know. You'd
be out there in the yard doing it in the rain, huh?
Hey, we have the truck drivers be on here.
Yeah.
What's that word? You hit somebody at the grocery store, you know.
Yeah.
Nah, I enjoy it.
Yeah.
You got some man who got his wife to do list, and he's still washing them dishes on.
Oh man.
But the dishwashers, you know. But you'll find out once you keep coming on and on and on how fantastic.
I can't remember the last one I came on. I think it was Why Would You Cheat on Your Wife or something like that.
It was. Yeah, it was called Once a Cheater, Always a Cheater.
Yeah.
And that was you lit it up that night, too. So,
mm-hmm.
But next week I got a topic for you, too, brother. It's when your wife starts interviewing for your position.
Oh, Lord.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Hey,
position.
Yeah.
I wish
my wife would interview for a position.
No, your position as the head of your household.
Oh, dude, that's
your
already
replacement.
Happened, man. You should have called me about a year ago.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you need to be back next week, bro.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, hey, man, if I get a chance to, well, you know that the meteor is zipping right by the moon right now.
Yeah.
So we're here next week.
Hi, Rodney. Hey,
hi,
man.
Brother.
I'll be calling next week, buddy.
Before you go, hey, Seth, before you go.
Yeah, what's up?
Listen, if you can get 96.3, we're going to be on the radio.
When?
Saturday. This Saturday, 8 o'clock.
Saturday morning.
Yeah, you have to stream
this Saturday
it.
At what?
8 o'clock, 8 a.m.
In the morning? What do you mean we're gonna be on the radio?
This out of DC, so you can't pick it up, but you have to stream it.
WHUR.com. What we just talked about tonight?
No. It's a totally different topic.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
I don't want to be on. I didn't sign a release form, right?
Yeah, but check us out next week, man. All right, we'll holler at you.
All right, Roddy. Take care.
All right, buddy. All right, later.